Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Are we ready to say goodbye to Nick Chubb?
It seems like it's over.
I got to tell you guys, maybe I shouldn't say it because it's going to kind of cast a pall over the room. I heard he is kind of getting close to another team. It happens to be in the NFC North.
Clarify that?
No. Not any further.
All right, that was Ken Carmen out of our sister station, The Fan in Cleveland, talking about Nick Chubb. And it made sense given that the Bears may have had their eyes set on a running back higher in the NFL draft last week. I immediately went to the Bears. I don't know where your mind went, Marshall. Did you think about the Bears when he said NFC North?
I mean, I did until Robbie Triano was trying to tell me there's other teams that need a Nick Chubb-level running back, and I was like, I don't know if that's true, but I guess it could be possible. But yeah, Bears was the first thing that definitely crossed my mind because they have what I would call an incomplete running room.
Which is crazy because they have a lot of running backs. We are broadcasting live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And then we had a bit, Robbie, of a development, I would say, when it came to the Vikings piece of this in the Ken Carmen, Nick Chubb, NFC North discussion. Did we not?
Yes, we did.
So I think that that's a piece of this, is we now know a little bit more about the Vikings situation and that they would likely not be in the market for Nick Chubb. So now it comes down to trying to figure out whether or not what we see with the Bears would still have him as a part of the discussion. I understand that Ken Carmen clarified this a little bit recently on 92.3 The Fan. So let's listen into the latest development, at least where he sees it.
What I know, the Browns want to bring Nick Chubb back. And they are trying hard to bring Nick back. I know this. Okay? I also know the Bears, now they're going to make it public and they're going to go after him. They're beating down the door. I mean, if you got Lewis Riddick saying that, that means that somebody is telling them, hey, we want him really bad.
And so why are the Browns not doing that? Do they just not want Nick Chubb in that room? They want the rookies, the young guys to get the carries?
I wonder. Now, this is my theory. I don't know. I wonder if Nick sees the draft because the Browns have to protect themselves.
But did them taking the two rookies make it easy for Nick Chubb to go elsewhere?
It might have, but again, they have
to. So they kind of, if they really wanted Chubb, they shot themselves in the foot trying to get him.
But if they were going to bring Nick back, how long are they bringing Nick back for? I mean, these are two running backs that could play the next 4 years for you. You're hoping. Nick's a year-to-year basis now.
Mm-hmm.
After the foot injury last year, let's call it what it is. The Browns are serious about bringing him back. The Bears are very serious about bringing him in. And are trying to make this push to bring him in. It's just going to depend on what's willing to offer more. I don't think if Nick were to take the offer to Chicago, he's always going to be beloved here. I think that everybody would love him to finish his career in Cleveland, but I still don't think a year in Chicago or 2 years in Chicago is going to change how he's seen by Browns fans or even by the organization long term.
So I thought what was interesting there is they referenced the two running backs that were taken by the Browns because some people didn't wait until the seventh round. In fact, they took two running backs in the top four rounds of the draft. That's what they did in Cleveland, clearly. I mean, I know that's contrary to what people are used to around here, per se, but Quinshon Judkins with pick overall number 36 in round number two. And then in round four, they said, we'll back that up by taking Dylan Sampson out of Tennessee with the 126th pick. So you see why they're saying maybe Nick Chubb is out, because we just drafted two top four-round running backs, why do we need Nick Chubb? And that's where the sentimental strings maybe come into play with a guy that's been in Cleveland as long as he had. But the reality, which is waving over these sports talk guys as they're talking about it, Ken Carmen and friends, is that he's probably gone.
Also, there may be a little bit of sports talk host showmanship here when it comes to Ken Carmen, and I get that. But I don't blame him for thinking the obvious, which is, given what the Browns did, were you concerned that that was paving the way for something else to happen regarding their roster and that Chubb could possibly be available? So I think that that makes sense. He follows it up with the comments yesterday regarding whether or not Chubb would end up staying with the team. And I feel like all of that collectively was valid here. So you find out him saying the Browns are serious about bringing him back is one thing. But then the Bears are very serious about bringing him in and try to make this push. Again, I go back to the whole conversation. I know that it's lying season in the NFL ahead of the draft. What was the counterpunch when you decided you weren't going to go for Ashton Jeanty and then perhaps your favorite running back, I'm guessing it was Quinshon Judkins, comes off the board? Or Omarion Hampton?
Or Travion Henderson? There's so many you could name, right? This is the point. There's so many that you could name as far as a plan B or C or D or E. And we get almost through the, I think we're in the T or the S area when they actually did pick a running back. When you talk about plans A, B, C.
Seventh round? Thinking that's like X.
Oh, no, I'm just going on.
W.
Well, I'm saying there's 26 letters of the alphabet. We know he was the 21st or 22nd running back picked. That's, you're getting deep into the alphabet as you're saying. So I think the thing is, when you're the Browns, from their vantage point, we just drafted two running backs. If Nick Chubb comes back, it's probably on a one-year. I mean, it is on. It's going to be on a one-year deal. It's going to be on a one-year deal.
What makes you say that?
Because of the previous deal was a one-year deal. He's coming off injury. The injuries are out there for people to see. The durability has not been a factor. How old is he as a running back? All those things add up to, it's probably time for us to move on and bring in our next crop of running backs. Remember, don't let them treat you like a running back. Make them treat you like a quarterback. But here we're actually talking about running backs.
Your analogy on that one was also fairly out of pocket once it developed.
What do you mean?
It was just a really bad mental picture.
the tread on the tires run off. If somebody treats you like a running back, they're going to get what they can get out of you and move on to the next running back.
Yes, I knew what you meant.
And then, quarterback,
then it just got worse.
Quarterback is... that's long term. Like, I see you for life. We're going to build a statue of you out front in the front yard.
So after the initial discussion with Ken Carmen, who's plugged in Cleveland, this got everybody thinking, frankly, wish casting, trying to figure out where he would fit. Would it be the Vikings, for example? Would it be the Bears? We get some acknowledgement there. I think it's also just easy to say the Bears want a running back. Like, it's an easy thing to just say and kind of project, given that you know what the Ben Johnson offense looks like. You know the Bears offense is going to look somewhat like it based on the draft. So a lot of people were able to chime in on this. That includes Lewis Riddick, who gives this some thought.
Look, with Ben Johnson now, with the kind of weaponry that he has at his disposal to really, you know, allow, you know, Caleb Williams to use, I think really it comes down to play design and then play sequencing. And I think that's where really you're going to see Caleb Williams really benefit, because look, there was many times last year under Shane Waldron that you wound up like watching the tape and going, look, these wide receivers don't have very good spacing. I don't understand why that play call on second down followed the play call that they had on first down. That's Ben Johnson's specialty. And look, RC talked about the fact that, you know, they want to protect Caleb Williams first and foremost. Well, how do you protect him? By running the football, setting up play action, have a real credible running threat. Right, so they rebuilt the interior three of their offensive line. That should be able to get some movement at the point of attack. I said earlier today, Nick Chubb needs to go ahead right now and be beating down the door of the Chicago Bears and saying, hey, look, I want to run behind this offensive line. I want to be a part of this. And Caleb Williams should be going, yeah, Nick, come play for us. Because think about this. Think about some of the people that we have on the perimeter now as far as us being able to stretch the field, attack every blade of grass. Not every team can just load the box and play eight-man fronts. So there's going to be space for anyone. And who's better at calling plays, depending upon how defenses are trying to play his offense, than Ben Johnson? So Caleb Williams, look, in year two right now, the sky's the limit for this young man. The sky's the limit. I think, personally, the conversation, RC, is going to quickly turn to how much, you know, him and Jaden Daniels. Now it's going to be, I think it's going to be a conversation where they're going to be talked about together in unison again, because Caleb has so much more at his disposal now.
I would argue he has more at his disposal, just weapons-wise, than Jaden Daniels does in D.C. right now.
I think the issue is the way that the established weapon usage happened last season is what overrides it. You know, we talked about the weapons Caleb Williams had last year, and unfortunately, it wasn't fully utilized. His talent wasn't fully utilized. Their talent wasn't fully utilized. The whole thing wasn't great. But when you consider how everybody was proven to be playing at their strengths in D.C., you know, that's what makes this difficult. Regardless, it's a fantastic discussion. You want to get in on something special? You know what this guy can do offense-wise? You know that everybody gets theirs? Let's go. That's a fantastic way to pitch anything to a potential free agent. The tail is in the tape. You know the people involved. You know what stands in front of you as far as who this team could be. But it still remains to be seen. If the Bears could somehow get enough money for him and still have what they need to work under the cap, does Joe Tooney factor in this? Because Ryan Poles did talk about extending him being a priority. There's a lot of question marks when it comes to trying to get an established, legitimate playmaker, even if he is injured, on this team at this juncture in time.
I think the salary piece is important, but I think that is something that they should be able to work around if they're looking at a situation where we need another running back in here. Chubb fits the bill for me just because of the experience, his ability to do the things that Ben Johnson would require, also the contrasting nature of his game to, say, DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, and you want the shake and bake.
I still don't know how Roschon Johnson fits into this.
The hope for Roschon Johnson has to be somewhere close to what you expect out of the production in order to have a realistic picture of how that running game is going to look. And that's where the disconnect is for me. The prove it yards aren't there yet. You got rid of Herbert, hoping that that would be the case. But with a dysfunctional offense in the way we saw it, I don't know how much of it is offense. Like with Cole Kmet, I have an idea that his production last year is indicative of a poor offense, not him. But with Roschon, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. One person who weighed in is, of course, Brad Biggs. He had a mailbag. And the top question, fair, from Chi-Town Drew 23, was, are the Bears in on Nick Chubb or J.K. Dobbins? Thank you, Chi-Town. We wanted to know this as well. And he says, Chubb turns 30 in December. He's been a high-volume player with 1,340 NFL carries. Brad Biggs says his best days are behind him, and because of his age and the severity of the knee injury, I'm not sure he's the fit the Bears would be seeking if they're in the market for a running back. Dobbins, who is 3 years younger than Chubb, would make more sense. He's had health issues too, with two knee injuries and an Achilles injury, limiting him to 9 games over 3 seasons from 2021 to 2023. However, he played in 13 games for the Chargers last season and carried 195 times for 905 yards at the 4.6 average, with 9 touchdowns. He's also more versatile out of the backfield than Chubb. And when you consider what Ben Johnson has prioritized and how he talks about over and over again making the same things look different and different things look the same, I think that does factor in bigger than maybe we're realizing when it comes to how the Bears offense is going to look.
In this world of supply and demand, and in this world of the reality of where running backs sit on the premium position ladder, if you will, I think both Dobbins and Chubb would want to play for the Bears because it's Ben Johnson ultimately, and the offensive line has been revamped and then some, and there are receivers and other weapons that can make you be as effective as you want to be anytime you do touch the ball. And I think that's a reason why the Bears should have their pick of the proverbial litter, because I'm looking around saying, who else is demanding the services of either of these guys?
I think the problem is any NFL team who sees what happened with Saquon and Derrick Henry last year and realizes that running back is more valuable and didn't get who they wanted running back-wise in the draft.
I don't think either of these running backs are on the Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley level. And not to say they're not good running backs, but I'm saying it falls off to a point. It's kind of like what we saw in the draft, right? Where we knew there was that top tier of Ashton Gentry, and you could argue Amarion Hampton, right?
Right.
And then after that, there's a whole tier of guys who can get the job done who maybe aren't as good as those two, but are more than adequate. Of course, the Bears didn't select from that particular tier.
No, the problem was other NFL teams needed them too.
Yeah.
And when your quarterbacks are struggling, and we talked a lot about question marks at quarterbacks across the league, and that is a fair statement, the best thing you can do is have a solid running game. So there's always, to me, value to have a quality running back. You know, Chubb did have injuries. We've talked a lot about the knee. Brad Biggs brings up the broken foot appropriately as well. That was not as of a concern to me as it is to somebody else.
None of that was a concern to me because I saw the videos of him working out. Like, the foot looks fine right now.
I mean, that is what you do in physical therapy. You're testing for explosive strength and the land and the load on the joints of the foot, for example. And you don't do that unless you've been cleared.
So that's what I'm saying is, even, what did you say, Layla? You said you want some Nick Chubb more than none Nick Chubb, right?
That's how I feel.
And we tried to establish
take what I can get.
We tried to establish what would be the minimum that you'd be like, I'm still good with the signing, even if he only plays blank number of games.
We said 13, right? Like four games he misses and you're still happy with the transaction?
Right.
And that's regular season. That's regular season.
And as I said before,
you hear what I did there?
Yeah, he's not going to be a workhorse in this offense. We know there's touches that are going to be distributed around, whether it's the passing game, whether it's the DeAndre Swift running portion, could be the Roschon Johnson running portion of this. I'll say Ian Wheeler just because.
Yeah, he got injured. Why not?
And so we just need a better idea of what they actually want. And the beautiful thing is we should have answers on this sooner rather than later.
Yeah, of course we will. I think, though, just like what happened with the Bears in the draft.
Oh, don't do that.
No, that's the whole point. It's who's first and who's the most aggressive.
Don't be last. How about that?
If you ain't first, you're last.
Just, well, that too. Depends on what they want. I don't know what their free agent big board looks like.
I think it has more to do with the money. When Ryan Pohl says to Lou Kanellis at the owners' meetings, free agency is basically over. That indicates to me that he thinks the free agency is basically
over. He said that
over.
Before the draft, though, and before they didn't get maybe a higher quality running back than they thought they would get in the draft.
But he also talked about how he wanted to use free agency for need and then draft the best players available. He did that, too. He's been telling you what he's been doing.
There's no way they thought going into the draft that they'd end up with a seventh round running back. Now, they didn't chase, which is their prerogative, but there's just no way they went in thinking, we're going to draft, our next running back taken in the draft will be in the seventh round.
They still took some risks. They may have snuck out of the third round, and I saw what you did there, but you still took some risks in round four through seven. You still did. This segment was brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Coming up, it is a massive weekend in wagertainment. The Kentucky Derby, the thing that I bet on the most, frankly, if we're confessing to stuff.
Really?
Is tomorrow. Yeah. I got started.
I didn't know that.
I got started young, man. You go to the track.
Wow. Okay.
It's fun. It's easy.
Head to the window with Layla Rahimi. It could be a segment.
Well, we're going to do that with Joe Ostrowski because he's had a lot of success. There's a lot more to get to as well with Joe, so he will bring us up next on The Score.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Today.
Joe Ostrowski, host of Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network.
That's a lot of value on a very talented team.
Getting you ready for your wagertainment weekend.
The public's been killing the books.
Joe Ostrowski.
Oh, yeah, he's got a lot of Herbert Hoover in him.
We couldn't live without Joe Ostrowski.
On the score. Score, 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 score.
He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. It is our friend, Joe Ostrowski. Joe is the host of Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network, and he is joining us now to get us ready for a busy weekend. Joe, I made it sound like I started going to the track to bet on the ponies, Marshall said, at the age of like 13 or something, but that wasn't the case.
Well, you said a kid. I was like, I thought you...
I first started betting on them when it was legal at 21, but it was something that, like, at the house, you would try to pick the Derby winner. You know, that's the first time that I got acquainted with odds and things like that. So I always like this weekend because it is something that I find is really easy and fun to do. Like, I'll throw in an exact box or two or three. You know, that's the type of stuff you do on this weekend.
First off, I know it's old news, but congratulations on the official news that came out earlier this week on the show. And second off, Layla, I don't really entirely believe you because you're like, wait, did it sound like I was at the track at 12?
Joe, did it not sound like her dad or maybe an uncle or aunt was taking her to the window at age 5, holding her hand like, all right, now is this what you want to go with?
And my mom, no. First of all, my mom was an only child and I lived with her growing up primarily. My dad didn't like sports.
So it was definitely
just me watching stuff.
That's tragic. I'm glad Joe picked up on what I heard, though. I'm glad about that.
Well, that's my story. That's why I assumed that there was a lie there. So.
Sometimes you defy your family, and my way was watching sports. Scary.
Yes.
Joe, now, am I correct in saying that you are very prolific at your picks when it comes to the horsies?
Okay, so I had a lot of luck a couple of years ago. And so I can't keep up with my phone this morning. Everybody's texting me, what to pick? What do I have to bet on? So a couple years ago, I picked the Derby winner. Okay, fine, whatever. And then we went to the next race. I ended up hitting all three races of the Triple Crown in 2023. And so then I became painted as a horse expert. I am not a horse expert. Like, I try to reach out to, I talk to people that know a lot, that I trust, and kind of figure out my own way through it. But I don't want to paint myself as a horse expert. But I will tell you what my ideas are for the Derby. Now, everyone seems to love journalism. Journalism is the favorite, the eight horse.
I would they say should, they should I love would journalism. Say they don't love journalism. That would be my take.
Yes,
they actually hate journalism these days.
They should love journalism. They do not, though. Media literacy should be taught in every high school in this country. Maybe even middle school, honestly, in this country.
Well, Publisher is also a horse in this race, too. So, yeah, there's going to be quite the debate. Okay, for this race to make money for their own pocket, a lot of people do like journalism. We will leave it there. That's what they were looking at with the eight horse.
I nearly spat out my coffee.
But... so it's kind of figuring out, and you've known this since you were a small child, Layla, just figuring out what you're going to do with your exotic wagers, with your exactas and your trifectas.
They're just good if you can't decide, okay? Sometimes people get lucky. How many times did I have to hear about Eddie O hitting some random exacto box? Like a million times. Eddie O's like the luckiest person alive with this stuff.
It's got to happen to me, right? And
David Kaplan. I know we're not supposed to say his name. Really? I don't care. Shout out Cap on the exacta boxes. He always knew what he was doing.
Yes, exactly. So we talked to Eddie O the other day, and he said every wager that he has for this race, and he'll be talking about it tomorrow on NBC, every wager that he has is going to include journalism. And there are a number of smart people that are doing the very same thing. Now, with this race, when we talk about potentially 20 horses, and apparently it might be even less, there are already a couple of scratches. And it sounds like there could be a few more coming up. But we're talking at least 15, 16 horses in this race. The favorite usually does not win. But the people that are really good at this are including the favorite in all of their wagers. So like an exacta box where you would include maybe 3 to 4 to 5 horses. That's what a lot of people do. That is getting the top two in exact order. Number one and number two, the exacta. But if you box it, then if you pick a few horses, you can put any order, any of those horses would be a winning ticket for you. So what I'm looking at is it just sounds like the pace is going to be frantic at the top. And that doesn't mean you stick with the speed horses. That actually means quite the opposite, that there's no way with the length of the Derby that that's going to be able to continue for the entire time. So you're looking at closers. And that's where I'm doing with my handicapping. And if you're going to include the favorite journalism in your betting, that you want to find some prices because you have such a short price at around 3 to 1 for journalism. Can I find a number that I can make some money on? Can I find a closer here that can get, you know, on the board there, top two, top three for trifectas? Number three horse, that is one. 30 to 1 with Final Gambit. And another one, 13 and the 14, Publisher, 20 to 1. And then also Tiztastic is another one that I'm taking a look at 20 to 1. Also another closer to take a look at. A few horses that a lot of other people that I trust like, they're looking on the outside, which would be 17 and the 18, Sandman and Sovereignty, but those are also very short prices. If I'm taking journalism and I'm putting it with, you know, Sandman at 6 to 1, Sovereignty at 5 to 1, I'm not going to make as much money as I'd really like in an exacta. So, you know, those are a few ideas that I have. That's what I'm doing going into this race. It could end up being a muddy track as well, which could throw things off. But the consensus seems to be that outside of journalism, this is wide open, and you could really list 8 to 10 horses that have a chance at hitting the board. The one big suggestion I would say is don't go crazy. Don't overreact to anything that you see people saying the day of. Just you're going to have to take a stand at some point, because otherwise, if you start just, oh, okay, I got to include this one, I got to include that one, then all of a sudden you end up betting way much more than you wanted to in a lot of cases, a sport that you really haven't watched in a full year. So you want to be a little careful.
Well, and the Derby's so unpredictable. You know, you're talking about it right now at last check in 19 horse field. There were a couple scratches, but the last time the favorite won the Derby was 2018.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago when it comes to trying to handicap the Triple Crown races. So that alone gives you the indication that you might be better off going with something completely different.
And it's still fresh in people's minds, Layla. Rich Strike just a few years ago. That was a late addition due to a scratch, and that was an 80-1. And so now what's happened over the last couple of years is people are like, I want to be part of that. I want to find a Rich Strike. It is possible. We just saw it happen a few years ago, and they're going to end up betting the longest shots on the board as well.
So Joe Ostrowski joining us, host of Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network. He's got all the pony news that you need, but he's got so much more. Let's go right to the Bears. We are post-draft. Did anything change? All right. Any of the futures looking different? Tell me what you got.
They're doing it again.
What exactly are they doing?
Doing it again.
Wishcasting and moving the money line in ways that shouldn't happen.
So I got my first report from BetMGM. Some win totals are already moving. They're saying, okay, we got the most popular bets. Oh, take a wild guess. Of all 32 NFL teams, which team has received the most amount of bets on the over? Can anybody guess? They're doing it again. They haven't received enough pain when the under has hit in 11 of the last 12 years.
That's crazy.
They're betting the Bears over 8.5. That is the most popular win total bet. Oh, and just moments ago, guys, because I knew this was going to come up, I was like, you know what? I wonder what Ben Johnson is for the coach of the year. Let me see what Ben Johnson is for the coach of the year. He is the favorite. Ben Johnson is your favorite for the coach of the year. The Bears are the most bet team on the over 8.5 for wins. And I rewind to exactly 1 year ago. You know who the favorite was for the coach of the year last year, guys?
Matt Eberflus.
It was Matt Eberflus. So we're doing it all again. Not enough pain.
Matt Eberflus was the favorite.
You don't remember this?
Maybe I blacked it out.
Yes, I remember. I remember it very vividly, Joe, because I was like, "Wait, why?" I was like, "I guess."
Is it one billionaire or something that just really loves the Bears?
People were high on Matt Eberflus because of the end of the previous season and the way they finished strong and the defense looked good. And he's like, "Now we've got Caleb Williams and we've got
I know all
Shane
that
Waldron, which we didn't know what Shane Waldron
but I know
was.
All that. But I'm just saying, like, it would be much easier to appreciate and take. As a collective, if it was one dude just really moving the market, you know, like some corporate raider type, so to speak.
It's not.
Hope
we're stupid. Gordon Gekko is not in on this. It's not.
No, we're all stupid. That's the reason. We do this to ourselves. It doesn't matter what happened in the past.
Do I think the Bears are going to win more than 8.5 games? Yes, I do.
Yes, I know you do, Layla.
Do we have the defensive rookie of the year futures yet, or is that still to be? I have like offensive rookie of the year and defensive rookie of the year to see if any Bears are in that, especially the offensive rookie of the year with Colston Loveland.
Yeah,
look at the way you're looking at me right now.
He said Colson Loveland, and I'm just looking at him like you're just trolling now.
Or Luther Burden III. I don't know.
By the way, a tight end has never won that award, and I guarantee you that he is going to be back.
And I said he should have won the award last year. Yes, I'm talking about you, Brock Bowers, but you know that dude in D.C. did some things. So
yes, the offensive rookie of the year favorite is Ashton Jeanty.
Okay,
he's
that makes
plus
sense.
Plus 250, Cam Ward plus 300. We don't even know if he's going to be starting. You know, as long as we bring it up, I would look at actually a couple of running backs because we don't like the quarterbacks in this draft. I don't love the receivers. I think Tet McMillan can be fine for Carolina, but if Hampton is the guy for Jim Harbaugh's offense, that would be a good look. He was bet early on. And then I was also looking at Judkins for Cleveland. Always a strong offensive line. I think they're going to lean that way. I don't know what's happening with the quarterback room, but I think they do trust that running game. And, you know, if it's not Chubb there, it could be all Judkins. He's 20-1. That's interesting. And I'm looking for the Bears guys. Wow. Burden and Loveland have the same odds.
Is it 100-1?
30. No.
Oh, 30-1. Okay. What about Shador and Dylan Gabriel? Did they make the mix? Because you just mentioned the Cleveland quarterback room. That's all. That's why. Why are you shaking your head at me? I'm curious.
He's not curious.
Oh, yeah.
He's a provocateur.
No, Shador is 17-1.
Oh.
Shador has much shorter odds than Gabriel.
Robbie just threw his hands up in the air. Robbie, why did you make a bet you shouldn't have? Like, what just happened here?
I can't believe he's that high up. He's not even their starter yet. That's insane.
The fifth round pick has 17-1 odds on Rookie of the Year.
It's so stupid. It's so stupid because they know what people are going to do. They bet on it. Gabriel's 100, and then the guy that was drafted after him, Shador, is 17-1.
That's crazy, but not as crazy as what's going on in the NBA right now. Because I'm excited about that. Has anything shifted? Or are we just like OKC all the way, baby?
Are you excited? Because I figured you were going to say that your team's going to lose tonight.
No, my team's not losing tonight. Okay. Yo, let's make this very clear. My team's playing at home tonight.
The caffeine is kicked in for Marzal.
They are not losing tonight. They better not lose tonight.
What if Every time I come on, you tell me bad things about the Warriors. I don't think they're losing tonight either.
Okay, so we are aligned. We are aligned.
That Rockets win was pretty convincing. I'm not just saying that because I used to work there. But seriously, that was a convincing win. I know it was at home, but still.
Nice. Let's see if they can back it up. They can't.
Wow. Now he's talking trash. Like, what is going on?
Well, now that makes sense. That makes sense.
I agree with you. The bettors are backing both sharp, and it sounds like the public is also on Golden State tonight. The line started 3.5, 4. It's gone all the way to 5, 5.5. I'm with you, though. I do like the Warriors. I think we're going to have a nice Steph bounce-back performance. He hasn't done much over the last couple of games. Their starters barely played. It was such a blowout. Rockets shot 55% in that game. They were phenomenal, but I'm a little scared of this number now that we're getting a 5.5 to 6 range. But Warriors win tonight. They advance. They need to close this out. You don't want to go back to Houston.
No, don't want to do that. Don't want to pray for another terrible three-point shooting performance out of the Rockets to advance if you're the Warriors. I'll say that. Is this the time now? Because I'm really feeling the Clippers to win it all. Is this the time now?
With a
game seven, they're in a position. I feel like now is the time to jump in before they advance past the Nuggets and people start getting back on them again.
Okay, so yeah, you win last night, and I can't believe I'm saying this big playoff game. James Harden was phenomenal, right?
Yes,
I mean that's what happened. Russ had his moments. It's like every loss in this series is okay. Is Russ going to mess up or is Harden going to mess up?
Wow,
that is actually just life with Russ and James Harden. That is just life. Right? That's not this series. That's been the entire life of the career span.
I liked the Clippers coming into the series. I put something on them at 30-1 before the playoffs got started, just because of the ceiling. And now we're at Game 7. And we're going back to Denver, and I'm feeling uneasy. The Clippers are a one-point favorite. You're going to go to Jokic's house and take him out in Game 7. That's what's concerning to me. Like, I was very high in the Clippers coming into the series, but now that it's here, going Game 7, I'm worried. It just might be where Jokic takes over.
That's fair.
Clippers
you
win
the
it
clip?
All.
I like the win it all. You know the Thunder are next, right?
Yeah, I think they're the team that can take out the Thunder. Otherwise, I think the Thunder are going to win it all.
Boston is very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Joe?
Yeah, I took Cleveland. But yes
me
Boston's
too.
Boston's excellent.
I like Cleveland. There was one point where Marshall thought Cleveland was the best team.
I think Cleveland's the best team in the East.
Okay, so he's covering every base right now. We've got him on Boston, on Cleveland, on OKC.
Don't like Boston.
He's not on Boston.
But I like the Clippers or OKC to win it all, probably.
Because you said OKC, baby, like 5 minutes ago, and then you're like, never mind.
No, because if the Nuggets win, then OKC's going to run through the Nuggets.
This is a very, like, if you really love the NBA, I feel like Marshall is embodying a lot of NBA playoffs fan conflict in itself, you know?
Yeah.
Joe, we appreciate you. We really, and I genuinely mean that. I enjoy our visit.
I think Marshall
every week.
Just lost $100,000 in this conversation. Like, if he put $2 on any one of these, the amount of bets he just made
it won't be on a trifecta and exacta, though.
What are you doing with the Derby?
That's nothing, because I don't know enough about horses to get involved.
That's the beauty of it. Give me Citizen Bowl, too, in that. You can tell what I'm doing tomorrow. Joe, we thank you so much for your time. Thanks, as always, for having fun with us.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, guys. It's fun. Bye.
That was Joe Ostrowski. He of the BetMGM Network.
I love having his brain ping pong go across and back.
His brain ping pong?
Okay, yours too.
You just acknowledged every team in the NBA.
But some of them
I'm down
on.
You might as well say the Pistons are winning.
No, some of them I'm down on. Don't do that to Robbie. That's not nice.
This has to be
just took a stray.
That was the Jalen Brunson. That was the one of the coldest moves I've seen in so long.
Yeah, we're really cold.
We're painfully late to break. Halftime is next here on Raheem and Harris. You know that my algorithm is one for buried treasure. So dang if I didn't find some more buried treasure. And there's a cool like nod to Serbia in all of this, which I thought was really fun and interesting.
If we have time, I'm going to ask you about ghosting.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What time is it?
It's halftime.
We went late with Joe Ostrowski because Marshall wanted to choose every team in the NBA to win the finals, which actually kind of makes sense when you break it down.
No, it's just one team meets another. I think OKC will win it unless they run up against the Clippers, and I think the Clippers are going to do their thing. Now I'll be rooting for the Dubs every step of the way. Don't get me wrong. But have you seen Steph's right thumb lately? It's very large.
See, you're experiencing NBA playoffs is what you're doing. If you missed what we had on the show today so far, we did a lot of discussion about just how the Cubs were able to beat Paul Skeens. The offensive lineup that is hitting bombs continued to do so. Matt Shaw, also discussion, the third base deficiency in Major League Baseball. Seiya Suzuki, what team's best options are. Miguel Vargas is on an eight-game hit streak, so how is that affecting the Sox offense? And the new development surrounding Nick Chubb, that was at 11. And then you just heard Joe Ostrowski.
It's now time.
All right, so I know I mentioned buried treasure, but let's face it, it's not going anywhere. And we don't have a lot of time.
You're saying it's still buried?
No, well, it got discovered.
Oh, it got discovered.
But it's now been discovered. So if we wait, it's okay. I do get a lot of buried treasure stories, as we know. So wait a second. What is this about ghosting?
Let me just read it to you, okay? And we can talk about it. Study reveals cities where ghosting is most common. From unanswered voicemails to text messages being left on read, ghosting has become all too uncommon in modern communication. Whether it's professionally, I never ghost you guys, I love you guys, personally or romantically, ghosting is now a familiar way to end communication with someone without any explanation. But just how prevalent is ghosting in America, and which cities have the highest rate of ghosting?
Is it where I live at any time?
It's definitely where you've lived at a time. Number Barn, a phone number management company and marketplace, surveyed more than 1,500 residents of the 30 largest metropolitan areas in the U.S. and asked them about their experiences with ghosting, including how often they've ghosted others and how often they've been ghosted. Cities with the highest rate of ghosting included Washington, D.C., Tampa, San Francisco, Austin, and this is not a shocker, Las Vegas.
Oh,
the most common reasons.
You can't even put Las Vegas on the board. That shouldn't even count.
The most common reasons for ghosting someone include conflict avoidance, toxic behavior, lack of mutual effort in the relationship. Only 1/4 have reconciled with someone who ghosted them and resumed their relationship. I'm surprised the number is that high. 25%?
Are we sure it's resumed the relationship, or did they just go out with that person again, only to find another flaw?
They might not have gone out. They might have just gone over. All right, Gen Z is the most likely generation to ghost a potential employer during the hiring or interviewing process. I think we've talked about that before.
Well, I know people who have gone on interviews and then got ghosted by the employer. That's been a rising scenario.
That happens all the time. That's as old as I've been interviewing for jobs. You never hear back.
Jobs are typically not the normal process, but I unfortunately think that ours are becoming more so.
Yeah.
We pay for people to find our jobs. I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
So listen to this. According to the survey, the cities with the highest rates of ghosting are led by Washington, D.C. A staggering 76% of respondents admitted to ghosting someone within the last 12 months, within the last calendar year.
76% admitted to ghosting?
Yeah.
As someone who lived in D.C. for 4 years, that is the norm for what people would do on dating apps. It'd be weird if you like actually gave them the courtesy of telling them, I don't want to talk to you. Ghosting was very normal.
I've read that it's the worst place to date like a long time ago. I'm talking like 10 years ago, but I can't tell you why.
No, everyone sucks, and everyone's so professional.
I mean, think about this. I mean,
I'm sure there's a bunch of politicians ghosting people out there.
Absolutely. So let's go around the room real quick. Where do you think Chicago fell in the top 30 markets? What number do you think they are as far as ghosting? I just told you what the number one percentage was, 76% DC. What guess you, Layla Rahimi?
20.
What guess you, Robbie?
Give me 8.
What say you, Ray?
I'm going to be somewhere in the middle. I'm going to go 15.
Okay, Robbie's the closest. Chicago, number 10. DC's number 1. Tampa, 2. San Francisco, 3. Austin, Texas, 3. Vegas, 5.
Austin's 4.
Yeah, Austin's 4. Sorry. San Diego, 6. I know you've lived there. Memphis, Tennessee is 7. Houston is 8. San Antonio is 9.
Three places where I've lived.
Chicago is 10. Pistons got
four
ghosted by their...
Four places where I've lived.
You could argue the city of Detroit, which is number 11, got
what are you about to say?
Ghosted by their basketball team last night.
Wow.
Louisville's number 12. Oklahoma City, 13. Atlanta, 14. And Columbus is 15. Huh.
Four places where I've lived. I just think it also has to do with, are there more young people there who date? Then the likelihood is higher.
Okay, well, there's a lot of young people dating in Chicago. 56% have said they have ghosted someone in the last year in the city of Chicago.
If you're dating, it's going to happen. Yeah. Like, that's just kind of how it is.
You know what? It doesn't really happen to me that much. I get nice letters. You want to hear a text that I got?
A letter?
Well, like a
handwritten.
It felt like a form letter. It felt like a form letter, and I was okay with it.
Dear Mr. Harris.
I had just told my friends, like, yeah, I probably won't go out with her again, right?
Oh, so it's a mutual.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I was at work. And coming out of work one day, hold on, I want to make sure I can find this.
Which work?
This work. Yeah, my full-time job. This is the message. And I was really happy about this. Hi, Marshall. I'm not feeling a connection between us. Thanks for your time and efforts. Wishing you all the best. I said, you know what? That's very form letterish, but it's very polite, too.
Very polite, very adult. Wow.
That's very ChatGPT, though. That's like cut and dry. Like
I like it, though. Like, come on, man. That's the way it should be.
708 says, Layla, are you straight skewing the numbers? Very funny. Okay, here's the thing. You have to go out with people in order to ghost them.
Okay. You haven't had your date this year.
Think safe. When I go on my one calendar date per year, I'm not going to tell you about it.
Perhaps the biggest thing, and I'll let this cook after this, 61% have been ghosted by a potential employer during the hiring process, and 35% of people admit to ghosting a potential employer during the hiring process. This is not just a romantic thing. This goes to business, too. I would never ghost anyone. I love people. Let's be friends.
In business, that's a bad look.
Let's be friends.
That's how I feel. All right, we'll do the buried treasure discussion at another time. It's always fun to learn some history, and that's usually where the buried treasure discussion will take us. Coming up next, it is time for 5 on It. We have a bit of NBA breaking news as well, so we will let you know about that and just have fun with our top 5 topics of the day that aren't actually the other topics that we talked about, you see, on The Score.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. A new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A 3-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.